Give you thanks for this morning. And Father, we thank you that we could come into your presence through the worship. And
thank
I thank you,
Jesus.
Lord, for every one of those songs and what they meant and how they spoke to people, how they encouraged people. Now I pray, Father, today that our eyes would be open. Lord, that we could see your hand in an even greater way in each one of our lives. But Lord, not just to see it, but like Irene, be willing to stand up and proclaim and give you glory for it. So, Father, we pray for Pastor John that the words he brings forth today will be brought forth in that mighty anointing, that the Spirit of God would move through him, give him boldness, give him courage. Lord, give him the words that you want to touch our hearts. And, Father, I pray that our hearts are touched also, ready to receive this word and to act upon it. And, Father, we thank you. Bless him in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you've been here over the past few weeks, you know that I've been speaking about godly wisdom and how when we walk in godly wisdom, our life is proclaiming the glory of God. And we've seen that there are two kinds of wisdom that we have to deal with. And one is the heavenly wisdom, which is the one we want that comes from God. And the other is earthly wisdom, which is unspiritual, carnal, and of the devil. And leads to death. So if we are in our right mind, the choice is pretty easy, right? I mean, who wouldn't want to choose heaven with an eternal life to be with God, to be in, you know, in the midst of his mercy and grace and love? And that's where I would want to be. But the decision isn't always so easy for those people who have not made the transition yet from following and walking in the ways of the world to following Christ. And even as Christians, we need to make sure that we don't fall back into our old way of thinking. Falling back into thinking as the world thinks. Because it's all around us. The wisdom of this world, the thinking of this world is around us every day, everywhere, everything we hear, it's everywhere. And it's easy to get caught up in that. Too easy. You know, so our mind literally has to be reformulated and made new. That's what we need. We literally need a new mind so that we don't get hung up on all these worldly wisdom ways. In Romans 12:2, it says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So if we want to make godly choices, that's what we have to do. We have to have a new mind. We have to get this new mindset. In Ephesians 4:22, it tells us, "You were taught with regret to your former way of life to put off your old self, all those old thinking processes, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds." So not only does God want us to have a new mind, but he wants us to have a new attitude. A new attitude. Now, when you think about an attitude, what comes to your mind? I know a lot of times we'll hear people say something like, "Man, he's got a bad attitude. Man, he's got a bad attitude." Or, "She's got a bad attitude." Nothing you ever can do will please them. You can't do anything right by them. No one is ever fair to them. Life isn't fair to them. Nothing ever goes right for them. And to them, undoubtedly, the world is against them. In their mind, they have been mistreated. And maybe some of them actually were. Maybe that's why they have that chip on their shoulder, that bad attitude. But as Christians, we know, or we should know, that we are loved. We are loved. We are not only loved, but we are forgiven. And we've received blessings on top of blessings, blessings beyond measure. And that also we have an inheritance that is stored up in heaven for us, where we will live for all eternity with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if anybody should have a good attitude, it should be us. Because we've been treated well. We've been treated in a way that we don't deserve. We've been given more than we could ever imagine and more than we deserve. But we still have to deal with the reality of our former way of life. According to what we just read in Ephesians 2:22, it said that. It said, with regard to your former way of life, that old style of living, thinking, the old attitude. So our mind has been filled throughout our life. It was filled with, you know, all kinds of thoughts and ideas and perceptions and experiences and boatloads of information that had nothing to do with God's wisdom. Everything that we do or say, everything that we are, is somehow connected to what at one time went into this hard drive up here. We call it our mind. So if we want to be transformed into the Christian that God has called us to be, that He created us to be, then we need to understand that this process of change that we must go through is all about up in here. I mean, it's in our heart too, but it has a lot to do with our thinking. And there's no neutral territory. Our mind is not like, you know, Switzerland, that they stay out of all the wars. There's a war going on up in here all the time. And things are going on up here on a daily basis. And we are either being changed by external pressure from the outside, which is the earthly wisdom trying to come in, or we are being changed internally by God through His Holy Spirit. So we have to see, we have to learn how to see and recognize and choose then to follow the right path. And so that's why we read God in God's Word in Romans 12:22, it says, do not, we already read it, I'm reading it again because it fits right in here. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then I didn't read this part. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Then we'll be able to walk in a godly way with godly wisdom. We'll be able to figure out what He wants, His will, understand what He wants us to know. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. What a wonderful opportunity. What a wonderful thing that God has done for us. According to His Word, our mind can actually be made new. That's pretty good. We can reboot our mind, just like if it was a computer. We can wipe it clean and reprogram it according to God's Word, according to God's wisdom, according to that heavenly wisdom. We can't just let our mind go. Just because we became a Christian, don't think that we can just let our mind go and expect that it will somehow be renewed all on its own. I mean, yes, the Holy Spirit's going to be working in our life, but we have to do our part. Time by itself does not make us wise. All the people that are out in this world that are old are not all walking with Christ. They're not all wise. They're not all walking in wisdom just because they're old. There are younger people in here today that are many times wiser than older people that are out in the world. You might not have as much experience or information, but you got the wisdom of God that far surpasses information. It's what goes in during this time period, the time of growth, the time that we have here on this earth. It's what we put in that determines our maturity and our wisdom. We have to take an active part. We have to be involved in what goes on up in here and making sure that we're putting in good stuff. It will not just happen. It's not just a matter of pushing out the bad thoughts either. You know, that's good. We've got to do that. But we can't just push those out and hope for the best. Oh, I'll just stop doing this. I'll stop thinking about that. Well, our mind will simply find something new to focus on. And if we don't give it what it needs, the good godly stuff, the good food, It's just going to find junk food. We have to make sure that those new thoughts are not just piles of useless information. It's so easy to get hung up on, you know, getting involved in things that are really mean nothing to our eternal future. We want to get involved in entertainment and games and information, and I mean, there's a lot of good stuff. I mean, I'm not saying any of it's bad in itself. It's just if we have all this other stuff we get involved in and it takes the place of the things of God, what good is it for us? Our mind is amazing. It's the most complex thing in all of God's creation. We were created in God's image, and this mind of ours has got a little bit of God's ability in it. Certainly, we're not as smart as God, that's for sure, but He still put that ability to think, to know, to understand, to remember, to love, to learn. All these things that nothing else has that. Just human minds. And no matter what the cost, we need to be committed to putting on the mind of Christ. This is how our life will proclaim the glory of God, as we live and love Christ and walk according to His truth. We need to be willing to take the time to make the effort and do whatever it takes to be made new in the attitude of our minds. So the question is, what do we fill our mind with? I'm going to look at a couple scriptures today. I'm not going to finish. I already know that. And I'll finish this later. But I'm going to get as far as I can. The first scripture I have is in Corinthians 3:2. It says, "Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things." Makes sense, I guess, doesn't it? Set our mind on things above, on spiritual things. God wants us to do that. This is His word. Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. So He doesn't want us to focus all of our thoughts on the things that are right here in front of us that we have to take care of. We got plenty to take care of, don't we, all of us? I mean, we all got business to do. We got work to do. We got house to take care of. We got kids. We got family. We got husbands and wives. We got all kinds of stuff to take care of. But where's our heart at? Where's our mind really focusing on? Where are we putting some of those thoughts that we are able to spend time thinking about when we have time? Where do we put them? Do we keep them all down on the lower earthly level? Or do we start doing what this word says? Set your mind on things above. Remember, you know, where is our citizenship? Does everybody remember that? In heaven, right? We are citizens of heaven. That's what God has told us. Philippians 3:20. We belong to an eternal kingdom. We are not of this world. We're in this world. We live here. We live in this world. But we are not of this world. We're here for a time being. This world is not our home. We are visitors. Sojourners, it says in some scriptures. We're visitors here for just a short time. We're just passing through. Literally, we are. It seems like a while, you know, that we're here. You know, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years, 100 years maybe. It's about the tops. But in reality, according to eternity, it's a drop in the bucket. 100 years, when you start thinking of billions upon trillions, I mean, forever. There's no end to eternity. So we are here for this time, and why are we here? We're here to bring honor and glory to God, to proclaim His glory, to live for Him. Our mind and our affections, our love, our joy, our desires need to be set on the things of God. That's why we're here. But we always, this flesh of ours wants to get hung up on the things of the world. It can't take its mind off. It just always keeps wanting to go back. So we have to continually refocus, reboot. You ever use your computer and all of a sudden it starts slowing down? Things not working right. The mouse isn't working right. Your things are getting all messed up, so you reboot it, right? All of a sudden you clean a lot of it out, maybe, you know, it cleans it up, and all of a sudden it's working good again. That's how we have to do with our mind. We have to continually examine ourselves, continually reboot. Everything in this world that we're living in is either going to rot or rust or fade away. That's what the Word tells us. Why would we want to set our heart and our affections and our literally bet our life on things that are passing away? When we have a foundation, we have a rock in Jesus Christ. We have an eternity with Him that's in store for us. Why would we pour our life savings into a rental home? Think about that. If you're renting an apartment and you're renting a home, are you going to put every penny you have to fix that home up? Would you do that? Wouldn't that be sort of foolish? That's exactly how it is for us here on this earth. Paul calls his body, he said, his tent. It's like he's here for a little time. What do you do with a tent? You stay in it for a while, then you pack it up, go on your way. We're just here temporarily. We got to get that into us that life is passing by. We won't be here. We're not eternal here on this earth. We're an eternal being, but it's a spiritual eternity. This life here on planet Earth is a very short part of our life. The younger we are, the farther away that seems, and we think we're not going to die. Wait till you get a little bit older. Wait till you go through some life experiences like almost dying, or somebody close to you dying, or other people, you watch them die, and then you start realizing, like, yeah, you know what? Life really is short. I better make the best use of it. I better do what's right. I hope we get to that point in our life where we really want to make a difference. We want to touch other people's lives for good. We want to honor God with our life. That's what counts. When we set our heart and our hope on the things of this world, we might gain a little bit of temporary satisfaction. It tells us in the Bible, in fact, that there are pleasures for a time here on this earth. Yeah, it's fun for a while, but it won't last and it won't bring us the peace or the joy that we've been looking for. When we set our sights and our hopes and our dreams to hoping that this world will satisfy those things, you know what's going to happen? We're going to get a lot of worry, and fear, and anxiety, and frustration, and disillusionment. You know, you get something new, and before you know it, it's broken. You save up, you get this, it gets messed up, falls apart. Doesn't matter how well you take care of it, it just starts to get worse and worse and worse as time goes on. Because that's the way of the world. The world is passing. The world is fading. All the things in it, it's going away. Everything in the world nothing will last forever on this earth. There's a continual passing away. How many of you know your great-great-grandparents? How many of you ever even knew them? We don't even remember back 2-3 generations. A lot of us, I'm sure, don't even know the names of 3 generations back. If you know that one, you probably don't know 4. They've disappeared. They're gone. Like a whiff of dust, or, you know, it's just, we go away. But we got this thing inside of us that tells us, oh, worry, I'll be here, I'll be, you know. No, we're not going to be it. I'm not saying this in a bad way. We can enjoy this life. We can make the best life we can. But we have to realize that why we're here. And there's a way to live here that will bring honor to God and will actually end up being the best for us. The best. So that's why we're told to set our minds on things above, on God, on His kingdom, and, you know, not on this world. Mark 6:33 tells us, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. See, we got to realize that everything that's happening to us, God is working it all out. He's working it out for our good, and He's supplying all of our needs. That's what it's telling, that's what the Scripture is telling us, that as we seek His kingdom, first, it says, first. There's an old story, it's an ancient story actually, about a sailor who lost his ship at sea while he was out looking for this fantastic treasure that everybody in the world knew about at that time. And it turns out all these different ships with sailors on them would go out looking for this treasure. But as they got close, it was way out in the middle of the ocean, you know, and these islands out in the ocean. But as they got to the island and their ship got close to land, there was this huge mountain that was filled with magnetic rock. This is a story. And as their ships got closer, the magnetic rock would draw in because of the metal nails and the bands on their ship and the metal holding the sails together and everything. And what would happen is, as the story goes, the magnetic rock was so strong it would pull all the nails out of the ship and the bands that were holding everything together, and the ships would fall apart and would crash in all the rocks, and everybody would die. Everybody that went out to look for that big treasure would die. But one time, there was a sailor, and he was young, and he was strong, and he was a great swimmer. And when his ship went down, he was able to swim to the island where the treasure was. He found the treasure, and it was far beyond anything he ever, ever could have imagined. And so he was enjoying this treasure. It was such a wonderful thing. But then he realized that he had no ship to bring his treasure home. And he died on that island, all alone, with all his worthless worldly wealth that he could do nothing with. And having our hearts and minds set on this earth, on the treasure of this world, is only going to lead to heartache. Desperation, because we can't take it with us. Matthew 16:26 says, "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man exchange for his soul?" 1 John 2:16 says, "For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." So those scriptures are making very clear, we can't put our heart, our thoughts, our mind, our hopes, our dreams on things in this world. That's the first part. The second scripture I wanted to look at is in Philippians 4:8. And I actually talked briefly about that scripture, I think it was just last week. But I only skimmed over it and talked just a little bit about it. And I'm going to read it because this scripture is something that is really going to help us learn how to put our mind on the right path. We're going to learn how to think, how to live, how to use this mind that God gave us. It says, "Finally, brother," it's Philippians 4:8. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." This scripture gives some real direction in how we should turn our thought life around to renew our mind. It really does. It gives us a list and basically teaches us what kind of things to think about. It's not all inclusive, but it gives a really good basic list that sort of helps us to understand the kind of things God wants us to think about. Obviously, no list could be all inclusive. There's just way too many things. But it's a good list. Notice the list does not include such things as fear or worry or anxiety or doubt or selfish thoughts or haughty thoughts or lies or impurity or negative things, things that have been condemned. None of those are in there. None of those are in that list. So God is making it really clear. We've got two ways we can use this mind to think about, and only one way is really God's way. When we're worrying all the time, we're fretting, we're anxious, we're doubting, we're fearful, we're all hung up on, or we're focusing on getting and getting more, and we're thinking about, impure things or robbing or stealing or nothing but get a bunch of money, that's all our thoughts. None of those things are in there. None of them. God doesn't care about any of that stuff, and He doesn't want us to care about that kind of stuff. It's a positive list. And if we begin to think about the things that are that kind of thing that is on that list, gradually what happens is it begins to sink in. And it begins to change the way we think. It really does. Whatever we put in, garbage out, right? Good stuff in, good stuff out. That's the way God works. That's the way our mind works. That's the way He created our mind to work, because we were created in His image. And everything that God thinks about is good. And He is good. And He wants us to be good. He wants us to be like Him. So, if we allow it, it will transform our mind. It will transform our thinking. It will transform our attitude as we begin to think on things such as these. That's what it says. This is the kind of thinking that will build character in us. It gives us a good attitude, and it begins to build character. It helps us become the kind of creation that God designed us to be. When we begin to think on whatever is true and noble and right and pure, the more we think about them, the more attractive they become to us. The more we want to think about them. It's true, it really is. The dearer to our heart, and the more they begin to have more influence in our life. They become more than thoughts. They even become more than beliefs. They begin to change us inwardly. When we think like that, what happens is the Holy Spirit begins to use those things and begins to change us and make us more and more like Christ. We change from glory to glory. We get better and better. And it's not going to happen if all we think about is earthly things or garbage. This kind of thinking helps us develop the character of Christ in us. Sooner or later, those thoughts begin to progress into actions and lifestyle. It becomes who we are. Oh, he's a noble person. He's a good person. She's a wonderful person, and she's just a pure, lovely young woman, and just so, blessed and honorable. I mean, we begin to think of people like that instead of, watch out for them, man. I don't want my kids hanging out with them. This can be good or bad, depending on what we think about. Because if we're thinking about those things, it's good. Thinking about other stuff, sometimes it's not so good. If we're thinking about the wrong kind of thoughts, we put ourselves in real danger. If we start thinking about things like adultery and stealing and getting high and pornography and other dangerous ideas, you know what happens? Going to do it. You start thinking about it, it starts feeling good, you start planning, and before you know it, there you are. Right there in the middle of it. How did I get here? I can't believe this happened to me. Because that's all we thought about. They're not always bad things. Maybe all we think about is money. Money's not bad, but the love of money is, because it becomes an idol. It takes the place of God. A home is not a bad thing. It's a wonderful thing. But if that's all we think about is taking care of our home, it becomes an idol. We can have a nice car, that's a great thing, but if that's all we think about, it becomes an idol. Our children can become our idols. Our spouse, anything can become an idol. If that's all we think about, it takes the place of God. So we have to be sure. We have to be, we have to think on the right things. That's why we need to be so careful about our children. What they're watching, what they're looking at, who they're talking to, and what they're reading, that's a big thing. What they're listening to, music they're listening to, because their minds, their opinions, and their character are still being molded. They're at such a young and tender and impressionable age, they can't filter out like somebody who is older and wiser can. They just take it in. So we as parents, with our young kids, we got to watch them carefully. We need to get involved in what they're looking at, what they're reading, who they're with. Try to do the best we can. It's hard enough just trying to do the best we can. We can't protect them from everything. But we try. And we try to keep close. Keep the lines of communication open. Some of those false thoughts, those teachings, they're being taught in our schools to our kids. I mean, they're teaching little kids stuff that's crazy. Abortion, that is, they'll take them out of school, give them an abortion, and not even tell the parents. That's legal. They promote perverse sexual choices all the way down into the lowest levels. Some schools, they literally have something called the drag queen story hour. I mean, the stuff that's out there is insane. It's not everywhere, but it's in a lot of places. And as it gets more and more accepted, they spread out. And it's all about the de-Christianizing of our country. I talked last week about the wisdom that is earthly. This is all earthly wisdom. And who's behind all that earthly wisdom? You remember? What does it say? It says it's of the devil. We think it's just human stuff, but the devil's behind it because he's trying to tear us away from God. He's trying to tear us away from respecting authority and believing in what is good and true and excellent and praiseworthy and focus on stuff that is perverse and destructive and dehumanizing. That's his way. The schools sometimes, and again, not all schools and certainly not all teachers. There's wonderful teachers out there. We have teachers right in our church. Thank God for Christian teachers that are in the schools. Because some schools are loaded with people who are trying to indoctrinate our children into anti-God thinkers. You know what? I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop right here, and next week we're going to begin the list. We're going to start looking at that Philippians 4:8, whatever is true. That's where we're going to start. So if you want to read that and think about that, that'll give you a little heads up. And it won't be next week, but it might not be next week. It'll be 2 weeks. I'll be back on it. But so that's where we'll be. So all this has to do, like I said, it all has to do with getting our mind back right and being transformed, becoming the creation that God has called us to be, because that is really wise living. And when we begin to think and act out in that kind of way, our life will be bringing glory to God. We'll be proclaiming the glory of God in all that we do and even in what we say, because what does it say about what's in someone's heart? Where does it go then? If it's in our heart, it comes out of our mouth, right? So you see, when we have these things in our mind, they're in our heart, and we begin to think on whatever is good and what is true, we're going to begin speaking it out. It's just going to come out. We don't even have to stutter and stop and think and wonder how are we going to say this. It's just going to come out. Because that's what's in there. But if all we got in our heart is, you know, the latest stats on who knows what, that's what's going to come out all the time. So, a wise person will want to honor God. And remember, I said this last week, is that God wants us to be, He wants us so much to be wise. So when we ask Him, He's going to give us wisdom. He wants us to be wise because it's to our benefit and it also brings glory and honor to Him. So wisdom is, it says, supreme. Get wisdom. We need to walk wisely. And that's why we need to transform this mind of ours into a mind that is honoring and loving God and thinking the way God wants us to think. So let's close in prayer. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank You, Lord God. We thank You that You have given us a mind, Lord. We're not just like robots, Lord God. We have a mind. We have thoughts. We have choices to make. And Lord, we want to choose to live for You. We want to choose to live wisely, to think the way You would have us think. So Lord, I pray that as believers, as Christians, that all of us here would take seriously the challenge to begin to think about the things You have told us to think about, to think the way You want us to think wisely, and to begin to bring honor and glory to You in every area of our life. Lord, help us to do that, every one of us, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen.